We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Bite.
Welcome to the Beaver Sports Podcast, brought to you by Hum Kombucha, handcrafted with love in Bend, Oregon for Beaver Nation. Here are your hosts, Mike Parker and John Warren.
Welcome in, everybody, to this week's edition of the Beaver Sports Podcast, made possible by Hum Kombucha. Jody Barnes is a fan. We learned from Scott last week. Hum Kombucha. Fizzy, delicious, and made with antioxidants, probiotics, and all organic ingredients. Hum Kombucha, handcrafted with love in Bend for all of Beaver Nation. Michaela Pivick, our guest this week. Michaela, it's great to be with you in this kind of longer form interview that the podcast is intended to be. John and I have been doing this the last couple of years. Destiny was tremendous. And it's just an honor to have you on with us in this context. So thanks for taking time for us today.
Thanks for having me. Looking forward to speaking with you guys.
Michaela, what about the season you guys are off to? It's phenomenal to me that the program is in a place that Jamie Wisner or Sidney Weiss or Gabby Hansen or Ruth Hamblin or Marie Gulich move on, and everybody wonders how do you replace that person, this player? And it looks like you guys have just built the program, all of you collectively, into a place where you expect to win and you're going out and doing it.
Yeah, each year a team will lose a couple of very important seniors. I know every college team has to experience that, but this program has done a good job of establishing defensive and offensive principles that are successful throughout each generation or each group of student-athletes that come through here. New people try to take those lessons from the upperclassmen to heart and try to implement those lessons learned and tips and advice throughout the years we're here.
Do you have a sense of the history of this program, even beyond where Scott got here in 2010 and started to turn things around? There's over 100 years of women's basketball at Oregon State.
Yeah, I don't know the whole span of the whole years here at Oregon State, but I know I remember Aki Hill, one of my AU teammates, had a mom that played at Oregon State here with Aki Hill a while ago, and they had some good NCAA tournament years. And then When I was being recruited here, I remember Mandy Close, who used to be assistant coach here, came to do an in-home visit with me and my family, and she showed a PowerPoint of some of the not-so-great years at Oregon State, including one of Scott's first years here, where they had an open tryout, and they were like, there's a 50-year-old that came to try out, and they said she wasn't bad, but her eligibility was up, unfortunately.
That's funny.
But
that's a dream for all of us 50-plus-year-olds.
How about a 60?
Yeah, right. But Michaela, it's interesting too. You mentioned that group, but you mentioned Mandy. Mandy actually, along with Casey Bunn, Brina Cheney, that was a group that wasn't too far back. 2000 to 2010 in there were some pretty good years, some WNIT years. There weren't any NCAA, but they were good players who set some records here that have since been broken by you guys in this newer generation, but not so far removed from you, but and some pretty good basketball.
Yeah, I know a lot of the former Oregon State women's basketball players still come cheer us on, and they'll send us texts of encouragement or words of encouragement.
Yeah.
That approach in recruiting that Mandy apparently was honest enough with you to say, okay, I mean, these are things that have happened. We had this tryout phenomenon at a kind of a lower ebb. By the time the Beavers came calling, they'd established themselves as an NCAA tournament program. And yet you, as at the time the highest recruit ever at Oregon State, you know, could have, quote, gone anywhere, had a lot of offers and opportunities. So in Mandy's recruiting pitch, so to speak, and the development of a relationship and so on with her, with Coach Ruick, perhaps with other players in the program, Michaela, what was it that sold you on the idea that this is where you wanted to be?
What attracted me to Oregon State was the relationships I could build with the coaches here as well as with the teammates. I know a few of the current athletes at Oregon State before I had committed here spent time and got to know me, asked and answered any questions I had about the program. I remember Katie McWilliams and her dad took us out to dinner and just sat down and talked with us about their experience and what they had experienced with the program here, and also Sid Weiss took time to call me, and that really meant a lot to me. And I knew if basketball didn't go as well as I had hoped, there were going to be up and down days. I knew if I had people that I really got along with and really enjoyed being around, that it would be a good experience overall.
And what about just the school itself, what you were hoping for? I know the campus itself is beautiful. Yeah. You're fairly close to home. Has that worked out for you?
Yeah, I've enjoyed having my parents 4.5, if you drive fast, hours away, 5 hours normally if I drive. But it's nice having them close enough where they can come to all the home games. And thankful for my grandparents being 2.5 hours away as well. So that has worked out well. Not as close as UW, but there are a lot of other attractive colleges this place that made it the best option for me.
Michaela Pivick, our guest on the podcast. So, we haven't even, I know our fans and the people that know you and the program well know everything about you more than John and I know, because they follow the team so passionately. But I will, for those listening in, we're talking about Linwood, Washington, Alderwood Middle School in Linwood, then
the Mustangs.
Yeah, the Mustangs, and then the Linwood what in high school? What's the team nickname?
We were the Royals, but our mascot was the Chimera, which is like this mythical creature. It's a combination between a goat, a lion, and a snake.
Okay, very interesting.
You said go Mustangs and go who?
Royals.
Royals, but it's what?
It's really the Chimera.
Chimera?
Yeah.
Okay. Chimera.
Never heard
okay. Got that. I asked you earlier if you spoke French, and I thought maybe you were launching into a new tongue there. But Michaela Pivick joining us. The things I've read about your, and believe me, we're going to dive into a phenomenon that we discussed on an earlier podcast with Coach Louis Quintana, who recruited you, and he claimed he didn't even know about your basketball prowess when he did. He recruited you strictly as a track and field athlete, a runner, a javelin thrower. I mean, I don't know if that's a true story, whether Louis was couching that a little for theatrical sake.
Maybe.
We'll get to that in a minute. But at Alderwood, I read that you were a score-first guard. Then in high school, you played the post. Now, last year, it's a legendary story about stepping in at the needed position at point guard in a bit of a transition year at that position. But it sounds like you just grew up learning how to play the game of basketball no matter what they asked you to do.
Yeah, I love the game of basketball. I know there's so many facets to it, offense, defense, a lot of positions where a whole bunch of different people with different skill sets can come together and help the team win. So my goal is just to do whatever I can to help the team win and be successful. And whatever is asked of me, I just try to complete that role as well as I can.
How much did you derive from being handed the keys to the point guard position last year? I mean, you did a tremendous job in a position you hadn't played specifically for a long time. How much has that helped you as you helped lead the team to the Elite Eight?
I think it was really great for my development overall as a player. Initially, I had some big stumbles and learning curves to adjust to. I know as a freshman, I was just playing the two, and that's kind of the only position I knew. And then the point guard, you kind of have to know almost all the positions in terms of how to run the offense. So it really helped my game in terms of knowing our system better, as well as to figure out how to pass better and set my teammates up for success and put them in the best positions possible.
You're very comfortable right now, aren't you? It shines when you play because when you're getting rebounds left and right, at the same time you know where to be on the offensive boards and then good shots. You're pretty comfortable with what the offense is, whatever spot Scott has you in?
Yeah, my junior year now, I'm upperclassman, so I've just had these years of experience of learning kind of what he wants us to look for and what positions and openings are going to be there in our offense. So each game getting more comfortable and learning more.
Michaela, there was a moment, I mean, amongst many, but it felt like you mentioned Katie McWilliams earlier, mm-hmm. but when you got the assist to her out of the corner for a three against Baylor to seal that game and to send you guys to the Elite Eight, that almost looked like the culmination of all the hard work of learning how to be a point guard, how to break down a defense. Tell us a little bit about that play that I know Beaver Nation can think about and conjure up in their mind at a moment's notice. It was a gigantic play that was kind of the fruit of the whole season coming together on one play, it seemed.
Yeah, one of the biggest shots of the season by Katie McWilliams, huge hit. I know last year and this year we have a ton of really good three-point shooters, weapons on the outside. So I'm pretty sure the clock may have been running down a little bit, and I crossed over and drive with my left hand, trying to get away from my defender and create some space, and drew Katie's defender from the corner, and then when I saw her step, it was Natalie Cho who got chewed out by her coach after the fact, but then I passed it to Katie, and I had confidence in her that she could hit it, and she did, and that was a huge shot for us and our team.
It was huge, and I know that, you know, as a team, you guys will do everything. You'll get the assist, all of that, but mm-hmm. where do you feel most comfortable on the floor? What position?
Probably the two position. It's what I've played most of my basketball career, a wing. In post in high school, I was a little undersized, and I just played that role because our team wasn't as tall overall. But I think that definitely helped with my rebounding. But I'd say the wing is where my heart is.
So you like to get the ball with the opportunity to either drive or shoot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Point guard can take it up the court and mm-hmm. Dribble past all the fast, little pesky guards, and then once it gets to here, then I feel that's where I'm most comfortable.
Nice.
Michaela, you mentioned Natalie Cho got chewed out mm-hmm. by her coach. I assume for leaving Katie. She wasn't supposed to leave a three-point shot. I'm not exactly sure what the nature of the excoriation was, but Katie hits the three and you guys win it and go to the Elite Eight. A huge game. What a game that was, and a season filled with thrilling moments. But can you empathize at all with Natalie when you're on the court? Are there times, I don't want to say you've gone rogue, and maybe the coach said, whatever you do, don't double, or, you know, stay with the three-point shooters. We're not going to give them an open three. Are there times in a game you would even say that Scott or Jonas or somebody has said, do not do, but in a game, in the heat of the moment, you see something and you go do it?
Yeah, nothing's going to be perfect. Just try to execute as best you can. I know sometimes you can get super competitive, and if, like, I was trying, Natalie Cho could have been thinking, Michaela's going to go up for a left-handed layup, and I got to stop that. So you try to think of different ways you can help your team, and typically you want to stick to what your coaches have been saying you, but sometimes other teams typically that are less disciplined, that may happen. I know it happens to us sometimes. We try to limit those.
Do you hear – I'm thinking of the Seattle Sonics. I don't know if you grew up a fan of them at all.
But stolen.
stolen.
Yeah, no, then they got stolen. Now you got hockey coming back to you, so you got the NHL coming. But our own and the great Gary Payton and George Karl used to just yell at each other. Gary would come over, George would be yelling at Gary, Gary would be yelling back at George. It was great theater, but it was also competitive. I don't see that element on your team at all where Coach Ruick will challenge you and you come right back at him. I mean, I think that's a pro game phenomenon and maybe even
Jamie might have done that.
A GP phenomenon. But if you do go off the plan a little bit, are you told, is there any room, I guess, for dialogue, whether in the heat of the moment or in practice when you're in film session, where you can say, well, this is what I saw on that play?
Yeah, Coach Ruick always appreciates us giving our perspective. He recognizes that maybe on the court we maybe see something that he may not see as clearly or see it right then and there. So just being able to share our perspectives back and forth is important because he knows a lot about the game, and any tips or what we're seeing or feels that we can communicate with him will be appreciated.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there are plays to run and things to do, but at the same time in the flow of a game, he must trust you guys because you're such great athletes to take advantage of things you see that aren't necessarily a part of the plan.
Yeah, not everything we run is drawn exactly how we do it in the game. We know keeping it normal and running our sets is very important, but there's sometimes in transition and opportunities where you just got to go and flow.
But making that half-court shot in Canada was part of the plan.
Oh, yeah, drawn up perfectly, Destiny coming off behind the back, a nice floater from half-court.
Yeah. Very well called, too, John. That was an exciting moment. I listened to with joy back here. That the word joy is a word that I invoke often when I think about the women's basketball program, when I think about the baseball program and national championships and so on. But, Michaela, that sense of, I don't know if I use the word joy, if that resonates with you, but it strikes me that the program exudes that you exude that together. Does that resonate with you?
Yeah, the game of basketball is supposed to be fun, and we just try to compete as hard as we can with our teammates and try to enjoy the process along the way. Each game is a new opportunity to play with your teammates and try to execute as best you can.
That was reflected just in my very short time with you guys, seeing you away from the court and how much you have each other's back and love each other and just have a great time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, even through wins and losses, we're always supporting each other and being enthusiastic with every opportunity.
Do you like doing those feature things on the screen, like name as many Disney characters or whatever against the fans? Because I think that's hilarious.
I think it's funny. It's a competitive thing, so we're always looking to do as well as we can in competitive environments. But some of them we were better at than others.
Yeah. We'll close in our last few minutes in this week's podcast with Michaela Pivot, getting back to the Louis Quintana phenomenon. Now, you were, and David Dumble, the throws coach here, said he's never known anyone in his experience that could be a great javelin thrower and a great miler. He just says it doesn't happen. But you were a sub 4:54. I've heard you've run in a state championship in the javelin, and you've competed at Oregon State after your freshman season throwing the javelin. I mean, what about track and field and Louis Quintana, I think, was at Arizona State. Do you remember him recruiting you, and did he not know of your basketball prowess?
I'm not sure about that. I know Louis was at Arizona State. I got some letters for track and field and some interest letters, but I knew I always really wanted to play basketball in college, and that was my main goal.
But there must have been something that I'm not quite done with the javelin. When you chose not to do it this past spring, yeah. But you did after your first spring here.
Yeah, after my bachelor season was over, I went back home for a week, spring break, and got to interact with my sister, who was doing track and field at high school, her last senior season of high school track and field. And I was able to interact with the local high school Linwood throwers there, and I was like, I kind of miss this. So I went up to Coach Ruick and asked his permission to see what he'd say about me going out for javelin. And at first, he was a little hesitant. He said that he'd prefer me going out my junior or senior year after a couple seasons under my belt. But I said, I think it would help with my explosiveness and strength, and I'll still get extra shots up, and I'll still do all the basketball activities. And then he was like, okay, if you think you can handle it, then go for it. And so then I went to talk to Coach Dumble and the track and field coaches here, and they said they were very flexible in terms of if I had a basketball commitment, go to that first, and then I'd be ready to go to any javelin throwing events or strength lifting events with them.
One other thing on that, and then John, I know, has a question and a message from one of the sponsors that make these conversations possible. Mm-hmm. But you also, you were sensitive to the teammates that you would have then in track and field and to be a good teammate. And I've read that you didn't want to walk in and say, okay, I'm here, give me the javelin, let's go. Watch this. That you came in with a sense of humility and became a good teammate with those teammates and even helped in recruiting a little bit. Tell us what your mentality was going into that situation.
You know, it's probably tough for everybody there coming in, like me coming in halfway through the season, but they were very welcoming and it was a great environment to be a part of. I just tried to do what I could to help the other teammates learn what I knew and be able to reciprocate that by them teaching me what I had been missing for the past year. So they were very helpful in terms of helping me with my technique and different strength work. So I knew it was a whole different team environment, but they were very welcoming. I still have a lot of those friendships from that team today.
Michaela Pivick, our guest on this week's podcast, brought to you by Visit Corvallis. Experience Beaver Game Day fun. Live in Corvallis and extend your stay to take in all that Willamette Valley has to offer. Visit Corvallis. Come for the game and stay to play. Did you do any other sports like volleyball or anything in high school?
I did cross country and track, mostly to stay in shape and run with my sister, and then basketball. But volleyball in high school, and softball before that, so a little bit of everything kind of.
It's amazing because you're good at everything, but you're also good at everything on the court. I marveled at how you were able to get rebounds, mostly be in the right spot when you needed it in big games like, well, all three of them were big games, but especially in that Notre Dame game, well, in the South Carolina game, and then just the right assist, and toughness too, because you're so nice and so just pleasant, but yet you'll fight and scrap on the court, so there's a little two-personality thing going on there.
Yeah, I know you got to be competitive, and when people make me mad on the court, I can turn on a different level. But you should not see me play golf or swimming. I'm not a good golfer. Okay. I'm not good at swimming, really. I know I can like hold myself afloat and not drown, but
that's good to hear because a person can't be good at absolutely everything. Jim Thorpe may be the closest ever good at anything that he put his hand to.
Bo Jackson,
although hockey, no.
No.
As Wayne Gretzky memorably
says, no.
Hey, we close with a thought, Michaela. Thank you for your time. When we had Destiny Slocum in a similar format earlier this season, and she talked with great excitement about you. And she's specifically putting together what I think she called a community service club, as it were, for Oregon State student athletes. It was kind of in the fledgling process then. Mm-hmm. So it has happened, you were telling us, before we started to record. What motivates that in your heart anyway? And you and Destiny getting together to do that, what's that look like so far?
Yeah, so Destiny and I had this idea where we wanted to get student-athletes together in the community. A lot of the teams right now are kind of fragmented in how they help the community. Like basketball will maybe go to Southside Community Outreach, or baseball will go to local elderly assistant home. And we wanted to bring the athletes together to get involved. And we said, hey, let's create a club. There's a lot of different clubs on campus with student-athletes. And we decided to call it Beavs Care, and CARE stands for Corvallis Athletes Reaching Everybody. Mm-hmm. And so our first event happened a couple weeks ago. We got a whole bunch of cookie supplies and went to a family that opened their house for us. And we made about 6 or 7 dozen cookies and then delivered them to local homeless shelters. So it was a great opportunity to bring about 20 student athletes together from various sports, including golf, volleyball, rowing, women's basketball. So there's a whole bunch of athletes coming together to do that.
Have you met athletes that have joined your group that you didn't know before?
Yeah. Now I've seen them around, but now that I have an actual connection with them and get to know them a little better.
Nice.
Our podcast also brought to you by the Heat Pump Store, your local ductless heating and cooling experts. Join the ductless revolution. Michaela, last couple of moments and back and kind of on the community service idea. Yeah. You know, I've also read that as part of Catholic Community Services, you assisted low-income families with chores and yard work. You've done that. You've been also part of Earth Corps, helping to remove invasive plant species and litter from local parks. This is just amazing to me that on top of being a biomedical engineering major, basketball, how are you able to manage time or compartmentalize? I don't like that word because I know it comes from a whole. It's a holistic, organic. You are who you are, and these are the things you're involved in. But mm-hmm. it still is phenomenal to me, that it's so important to you, but how do you make it all work?
I know as student-athletes at Oregon State, we have this great platform and opportunity to be able to impact the local community, so we're trying to make the most of this opportunity. And I know a lot of my teammates are up for volunteering as well, so maybe if we have a couple hours after practice, we'll go and hang out. Kind of helps me forget about my studies sometimes when it seems like it's overwhelming or something, so it's just an outlet for me to make somebody else smile or help me forget about what other things that may be going on in my mind.
Have you learned the art, and I don't mean this in any way as a downer, but the art of saying no occasionally too, because the opportunity is once you're out there, well, can you come do this for us? Yeah. I mean, are there times that you just respectfully have to say no, or at least maybe some other time?
Yeah, I'm still working on that. Yeah. It's something I need to get better at, but I think going forward, I need to understand what I need to do and what's really important to me and stick with that.
Is there any one particular aspect of volunteer work that you like or prefer? In other words, working with the elderly or working with children?
Mm-hmm. I really like working with children, going out to Boys and Girls Club or the South City Youth Outreach. They're so energetic and they're always smiling. You just put a smile on your face.
Yeah.
And on your way to, we'll close with a little basketball. I mean, we've touched on it a little bit. Your great start, ranked 8th in the country. Now you go to Maui,
yeah.
where that I'm happy for yeah. you. But even there, you're not. You play basketball. You got two games coming up: Eastern Washington, Texas A&M. Mm-hmm. But even there, there's a community service aspect to it. And so are you looking forward to that? Do you know yet what you're going to be doing?
Yeah, last year we went to a couple local elementary schools, interacted with the kids during recess, as well as we're able to read books to them. So we're looking forward to hopefully doing that again.
Well, anything else for you, Johnny? I mean, we could talk all day.
Yeah.
How are studies going? Have you stayed on track? I think you took your first non-A, somebody said. Everything was A and you got a B finally, but I don't know where you are with that.
That's unacceptable.
I know. No. How are things going, Michaela? Are you pleased with the track you're on? And what is your goal ultimately of post-basketball?
Yeah, so I got my first B+ in physics last spring term. So I did my best in that class. I studied as well as I could have. Just the result wasn't there, so sometimes it just happens. But then this term so far so good. I've taken two finals already, and then I have one more final on Thursday, tomorrow evening. And my degree is biohealth sciences, and long term, once basketball's over, I'd like to play as long as possible. Mm-hmm. Whether that's here or overseas, I know at some point, inevitably, my career is going to come to an end. And at that point, I'd like to go to medical school and become a doctor.
Excellent. And what kind of doctor?
Originally, I thought I wanted to be a dermatologist, like a skin doctor, because I had rashes when I was younger, and eczema. And then I job shadowed my pediatrician this past summer, and I really liked that and how you got to interact with kids at a younger age and kind of help set the stage for their health long term. So that was appealing to me. So I'm not sure yet, but I know I want to go into medicine.
Wow.
Michaela, thank you. This was a wonderful conversation. Thanks for everything you do for the team and in the community and all the things that that you shared with us here today on the podcast. It was a real pleasure. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, and go Beavs.
Go Beavs.
Amen to that. Being a Beaver has its perks. Oregon State University graduates are already qualified for scholarships towards earning MBAs. You can do that in Portland, Bend, Corvallis, or online. Flexible and customized options will help advance your career trajectory. And I can see Michaela taking notes, ready to take that on too. You can visit mba.oregonstate.edu/beaver. That's going to do it for this week's edition of the Beaver Sports Podcast. We'll do it again next week. Our thanks to Michaela Pivick for John Warren. This is Mike Parker. Thanks for joining us. So long, everybody.
This has been the Beaver Sports Podcast, brought to you by Hum Kombucha, handcrafted with love in Bend, Oregon, for Beaver Nation. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation.